Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. NDP transportation critic Taylor Bacharach is on the news today to speak about the NDP's position of Via Rail privatizing its most profitable corridor on the track and how passenger rail travel between Toronto to Quebec City going private will affect passenger travelers in the Skeena region.
It is Taylor Bacharach. I'm the Member of Parliament for Skeena-Bulkley Valley.
Okay, Taylor, could we start just very plainly, if you could tell me your concerns about the privatization of passenger rail on the Toronto-Quebec City corridor by the federal government?
Sure. The federal government has just announced the next step in its process to build high-speed rail on the Toronto. We lag far behind the rest of the world when it comes to passenger rail, and it's about time that we came into the modern age and started moving people efficiently and affordably and in a low-emissions way. The challenge and the problem we have with this plan is that the Liberals want to privatize that corridor. And that corridor also happens to be the busiest corridor for Via Rail, which, of course, is the Crown Corporation in Canada that operates passenger rail service. And when they privatize it, they're going to rob Via Rail of about 80 to 90% of their current revenue. Now, our concern is that Via Rail will be left with a fraction of its former passenger revenue and tasked with operating all of these long-distance routes in the rest of rural Canada. They're going to essentially be left with these much less profitable rural routes, and it's just not going to be feasible. They'll be put in a really untenable situation, and future governments will have their eyes on cutting them altogether. So that's our fear. Privatization kind of sucks when it comes to passenger rail, and we're pushing back against it. We really believe in passenger rail. We believe in high-speed rail. We want the government to build it publicly for the public good, not for private profits.
The Liberals are saying that this will improve service for the end user who use VIA to travel. But when they're saying that, are you kind of reading in that that means for that line and not for all Canadians?
Absolutely. This high-speed rail project is only going to improve service for people between Toronto and Smithers and Burns Lake and Fraser Lake and Terrace and Prince Rupert are a heck of a long ways away from Toronto. So I don't think this plan is going to see any service improvement for folks in our region. If anything, over the long term, it's going to see service reductions because the government is going to be under pressure to cut those rural services that require a heavy subsidy.
So what are the NDP, who are you connecting with now, and how are you working to try to work with the Liberals to get them to understand the importance of keeping Via Rail a Canadian-owned Crown Corporation?
Yeah, we've been using all the tools in our toolbox to try to push that message. We've been working with Unifor, which is the union that represents a lot of the workers on Via Rail. We've been working with the organization Transportation Action Canada, and I've been using my tools as the NDP's transport critic to try to raise this issue in Parliament. The Transport Committee, which I sit on, has convened hearings on this topic, and we've heard from expert witnesses. We put together a report. The other parties are a lot warmer to privatization than the NDP is. We want to see high-speed rail built, but we want the government to do it using a public model. And the vision really is, if the government were to build high-speed rail using the existing Crown Corporation, using Via Rail, then those profits that the private sector currently thinks that it can make, those profits could go to the public. They could be used by Via Rail to improve rail service all across Canada.
The private consortium who will take over this highly profitable Toronto-Quebec City corridor is called Alto, which consists of a mobility engineering firm, Systra, a Quebec-owned investment firm, Atkins Realis Group, formerly known as SNC-Lavalin, two public transit companies, one from Montreal and one from France, as well as Air Canada. And bringing it back to just local in the Skeena area here, do you feel that people in the Skeena that they know or that they're passionate about this? Because I'll be honest, not too many people use the train, and a lot of the reason being that the schedule is, it can be long. If you want to get from Smithers to Prince Rupert, for example, sometimes it can be like a 4-day round trip sort of thing. So what are you hearing from people within the Skeena when they hear about this privatization of this corridor line and how it affects them?
People really, they go around the world, they see other countries that have effective passenger rail systems, and they say, we want that here in Canada. Or they're of a generation that actually remembers when we had an effective public passenger rail service. So I think it's an idea that has a lot of support within the Canadian population and in our region. It's just that it requires government leadership and vision and investment to get there. And our concern is that building this high-speed rail in the way the Liberals have chosen to do it is actually going to take us in the opposite direction. And we could wake up in 30 years and not have any public passenger rail in this region whatsoever.
Is there much conversation that you're having with our Skeena Stikine riding MLAs about this as well?
They really like the idea of an effective passenger rail service in this country, but they don't like spending public money and making public investments, right? And I think that's put them in a conundrum. It takes some vision and it takes some courage to build big public nation-building projects. And high-speed rail is definitely one of those. It, no matter how we build it, it's going to cost tens of billions of dollars. And yet at the same time, this is a Liberal government that spent, $35 billion buying and building an oil pipeline? Imagine if those dollars had been invested in high-speed rail. Imagine the economic development potential. Imagine the legacy that would leave for Canadians. It would be really tremendous.
Thank you to Taylor Bacharach for his time. As the NDP transportation critic, MP Bacharach says that by 2030, new Via Rail passenger trains could be marking a significant step towards securing the long-term future of passenger rail in the province. However, for reliable service, Canada needs passenger priority legislation. But CN, who owns the tracks, prioritizes freight, causing frequent delays for Via Rail. Implementing passenger priority laws could help Via maintain a more consistent schedule and improve service efficiency. Newly elected Bulkley Valley Stikine MLA Sharon Hartwell has been vocal about the need for provincial support for Kitwanga's 80-year-old condemned ambulance station, which is in need of dire repair. Volunteers in Kitwanga have raised nearly $1 million to replace their building, but have reached a critical point in their fundraising where they require government intervention in helping secure the last $500,000 to build the new BCEHS building to code. Here's MLA Hartwell speaking to me from the Legislative Assembly in Victoria. I want to speak to you today about a letter that you wrote to the Public Safety Minister. Would you bring our listeners up to speed? What is the state of the Kitwanga ambulance station today?
Currently, they don't really have one. They've got an old building that was built in 1940 as a forestry building. And many of our communities in the north had those. And at the time, it wasn't used anymore. The gentleman who bought the property had leased it to the community, and they made it into sort of a makeshift ambulance station. So it's well outlived its usefulness, and now it's been condemned. So they have been lobbying the government for the better part of 10 years. Kathy sent me 8 pages of people they've contacted over the years. Different agencies, different people for funding for this project. They've had the engineering done. They've had all kinds of things done. They've got the land ready to go. And they haven't had any response from the government. They have collectively, this small community and surrounding First Nations communities, have actually raised little over $900,000 in the last 10 years by community involvement. And the other large component in this has been industry. It's been the forest industry and people that are working up Highway 37 and the mining industries. They have been the largest donors to this project to date. So I heard a presentation when I was invited to Seabridge Gold reception in Vancouver when we were down at conference. And I was actually shocked, to tell you the truth, that I didn't know about this in my own area. I was born and raised in the Valley. These are communities that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. So I was quite taken aback that this has taken so long and to get this far. So I've taken it a step further. Had an in-question period. We had that yesterday, asking the minister when they were going to actually step up and finish this project. So we are going to get a meeting with the minister to discuss this and find out what the next steps are. My understanding is they have been promised about $250,000 from a gaming grant, just to be clear. I found that out later. But That only happens if there's shovels in the ground this year. Otherwise, that money gets forfeited.
So when you're speaking to the public safety minister, how are you going to help get this project going and get it shovel ready?
The question was answered by the Minister of Health, Minister Josie Osborne, and she had welcomed me to have a conversation about this and provide her for more information. So that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Thanks to MLA Hartwell for speaking to CICK News to speak about the importance of small community ambulance stations. Kitwunga is a community that resides on Gitxsan territory. They are an unincorporated off-reserve community that is a service center at the important junction of Highway 16 and Highway 37, which serves the northwest area with transfers from Dease Lake and Stewart. And Kitwunga Emergency Services also does transfers to area hospitals from Burns Lake, Smithers, Hazelton, Terrace, Kitimat, and Prince Rupert. Of the over 200 ambulance stations in BC, under 40 are owned by the BCEHS. The majority are leased from municipalities, cities, or private enterprise. And the Kitwunga Emergency Building fundraiser volunteers have been told that BC Emergency Health Services will lease their building if they can build it. Kitwunga has organized various fundraising events and initiatives over the years to support their ambulance station project. And these events have helped raise awareness and funds, accumulating to nearly $1 million toward the project. Here is one of those integral Kitwunga Ambulance Building fundraising volunteers, Kathy Morgan, speaking to CICK News.
Okay. Hello, my name is Kathy Morgan, and I'm in Kitwunga, a small community with a dedicated group of volunteers in our rural northern community that have worked to raise funds for a new emergency services building.
Tell me a little bit about where you are now, how much money you've raised, where you are, and what next steps look like for you.
Okay, with local donations and pledges from individuals, local businesses, our local neighboring band, we've been able to raise over $400,000. And then at the end of 2024, we were able to get two ministry grants, one from NDIT and another ministry grant, to bring our total now to $929,000.
Do you feel like you're in a good position now that you can utilize those funds in a timely fashion in order to start building the new station?
We're not quite there yet. We hope to receive a further grant, a community works grant that's administered by the regional district of Kitimat Keene. And that grant would be for the fire bay portion of the emergency services building and would add to the total project cost of close to $1.5 million. Right now, the other holdup is, even though our MLA Sharon wrote to the public safety minister, and that was then relayed to the Minister of Health, and we get feedback from the Minister of Health that BC Emergency Ambulance Service is actively working with the Kitwunga Community Association to bring or explore possibilities of bringing a new station to our community. We're not seeing that translate into action. So we haven't got any kind of a commitment yet from BC Emergency Health Services. And I just sent them a letter this morning saying that we're on a bit of a time crunch, that two of the grants are, the caveat is that building must commence in 12 months from receipt of those funds. We've acquired the property. We have a half-acre lot that we own. The Community Association owns the property. And we're ready to build.
In April of 2024, the BC government funded the conversion of 60 ambulance stations across the province so that their service delivery models was able to respond to these communities' needs. So why was Kitwunga not one of the recipients of this benefit?
I think how we became a recipient was that they attached or they put in two positions for Kitwunga. So a unit chief and a community paramedic. But they don't have crew quarters here to have those people here. So there's nothing to attract or retain staff to come to Kitwunga. So that's why we've been working to build a building that would have a safe place for them to stay in our community and to be able to be here as first responders and not have to have the ambulance come from Terrace or Hazelton. But there was nothing about new buildings that they would help partner with. And again, we've been communicating with BC Emergency Health Services Facilities Department over the years consistently, communicating with them. They've sent us their standard design booklet to say this is what you'd have to build it to these standards. They've told us which stations in BC closely match, and we've sent the plans to an engineer. We've had two different cost estimates. But yeah, it's a lot of work to be doing if we can't get some concrete answers from BC Emergency Health Services on what a lease agreement might look like. Because our intention is to build it, and then just as they do in many other communities and municipalities, they then lease from the city or private enterprise. Interestingly enough, we've had a lot of support lately from the mining sector. We've had great support from Seabridge, from Newmont, from High Tech Drilling, from Galore Creek Mining, giving us donations because they see the need, because we're south of the Golden Triangle, the mining area in the north, and they see that because our ambulance does transfers from Stewart and Deese Lake, it's an important safety aspect for their employees and for the mining industry vehicles that are traveling up and down the Highway 37 and Highway 16 corridors.
The number $1.5 million you had mentioned before, is that the cost for the total built for the two station, for the two department stations?
Two bay stations and crew quarters would be part of that building, with office space for the crew, a unit chief office, supply room. They need like a separate oxygen room, and that would all be part of that building. It would be a separate, it's not a party wall between the two bays. There can't be other agencies sharing the BC Emergency Health Services part of the building. So the community fire bay would be separate with its own entrance to access the water tender truck.
Was there something else that you want to include on this conversation that I haven't asked you about?
One of the things that I did send to Sharon Hartwell was that our area has a very high Indigenous population. We are on Gitxsan territory. And, you know, one of the Truth and Reconciliation calls to action is to have better provision for health equity in rural communities such as ours. I think that's a systemic gap, you could say, that needs to be addressed. As well, you can't sustain and grow in small communities like ours without adequate health and safety infrastructure in place. I've said it before, small communities matter, and Kitwanga is no exception.
That was Kathy Morgan speaking to me from Kitwanga, where she has volunteered for over 10 years to raise nearly $1 million for Kitwanga's much-needed ambulance station.
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.